We will start with some verse from Bhagavad Gita, and then we'll share some things which we try to learn from from the Padayatra. That's just to say. I will say later that nothing comes automatic. It's not by my mystic power that you can see the verse. That someone has to be behind. Okay, I'll just read the Sanskrit and the translation and purport because we don't have so much time. So, reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 3, text, chapter named Karma Yoga, text number 30. This is probably one of the favorite verses of Lomanchita Prabhu. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasa dhyatma cetasa nirashi nirmamam budva yudasva vigata jvara. So if your Sanskrit is not so good, so if it's like mine, then we'll read also the translation. Purport. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy, fight. Purport. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Shri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord, he had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls, therefore one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul, without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetas. Nirashi means that one has to act on the order of the master but should not expect fruitive results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in this world, in the world, belongs to an individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mai, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Nirmama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigata jvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. So we had an amazing Padayatra experience. So we want to share some things that we learn from this. I will start with one main direction, which is responsibility, and some relevant things about. One day, one senior devotee introduced some devotee to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, first thing he said was, "Is he responsible? Like, can you count on this guy?" quite interesting. He didn't think of something else. Of how is he chanting? No, is he responsible? And Another incident with Srila Prabhupada, at one point he asked the devotees, how will this movement go on? And the devotees said, yeah, Srila Prabhupada will chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, yes, that's all right, but... and no, we'll distribute books. Yes, that's all right. They were like, I don't know. And Srila Prabhupada said, this movement will continue by organization and intelligence. So, because to spread Krishna consciousness, to spread spiritual knowledge, you need some sort of organization, you know. Now we have this, we had Padayatra, we were going every day to different city with musical instruments, with cookies, with flags, with... this requires some things. You need some cars, you need some instruments, you need books, you need flags, you need... we took Nitaigora Nataraj to... in a cart, so you need a cart, you need many things. You need water, you need raincoats. Sometimes it rains. You need a sound system, like now, because my voice is not so loud, and then we have a sound system and everyone can hear, hopefully. Okay. So there are many things that you need for such a project, and there are many things to be done also. There are already many things to be done in a temple, but then when you do such a big project, a lot more things to be done. So this how these two things are related, organization and responsibility. Well, it's if you want to organize something, you need some responsible devotees. Some responsible people. Many times bhakti is translated as love, which is true. But Srila Prabhupada would insist and translate this as devotional service. Because love means you do something. There's famous some so-called discussions between him and her, they are in love, and she's like, oh my dear, I love you, you're my most important thing in my life, and so on, you know. I'm not good at this, so again, this big thing. So then he says, oh my dear, can you cook something for me? No, I'm too busy. Like, so he will think, so where's the love, you know, like, what kind of love is this, you know, I'm so important, but I just want something, so she will cook something and she doesn't want to do it, so where's the love? So, similarly, if we develop love for Krishna and he is asking, can you do something for me? Like, nah. So that's why Srila Prabhupada would translate bhakti as devotional service. So it's clear, it's devotional and it's some service also. It's not just devotional. Devotional, sleeping, I feel. No, devotional. So, okay. As I said before, there's this difference between the current culture and the Vedic culture. This current culture is called, Western culture is based on rights. I have rights. And Vedic culture is based on duties. And as I explained before, there's this modern philosopher. He's not a devotee, but he's smart. He understands that a society based on rights cannot function. Because, like now, we have, we'll discuss a bit, still a bit philosophy, then we'll dance, and then a bit sing and dance, and then there will be some prasadam. So we can say, okay, that I have to the right to have some prasadam at the end of Sunday feast, no? But if we all have the right and nobody has the duty to cook the prasadam, it might be that there will be no prasadam at the end of Sunday feast. So that's his argument, that if you want rights, then someone has a duty. You want the right to have prasadam, then someone has to have the duty to cook prasadam for you. Otherwise, a little problem. So there is a need for responsible devotees to do for something to be done, and the more responsible devotees you have, the easier it is to organize things. Actually, to organize things is not so difficult. You know, like if you have responsible devotees. If devotees are not responsible, then it makes it more and more and more difficult. You know, so it's so simple. It's like that. So okay, Srila Prabhupada compares here Krishna consciousness to an army. You know, sometimes we say the army of Lord Chaitanya. So in the army, somehow you join, and when they tell you to do something, that they say in America that when they say jump, you just ask how high. You don't ask why, you know, like how high? Okay, how? So this is some part which can be there. But it's already also important to understand that this is not something external. It's not just external. You just jump and then, because if you want to do what you're asked, then you have to be convinced. If you're not, you're not going to do it. This is, it's not International Society for Robot Consciousness. Okay. The important keyword in this phrase is consciousness. You know, like you have to develop also consciousness. It's not just you have to do some duty. You know, like okay, I have to carry these stones from here to here. Okay, perfect. You have to also develop the consciousness. Oh, okay. Why? So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada first says that Krishna consciousness is like a military discipline. And then he says, why? He doesn't say just, okay, you have to do it. He says, why? And he says, the living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. So he says, no, this is not because in the army, they need things to be done. This means you don't do things because Krishna is God, but he has a bad day and he needs your help. No, this is because this makes you happy. This is good for you. So there's classical examples explained in the Shastras. One is with the hand that... If the hand wants to enjoy food, then the hand has to feed the stomach. Sometimes in the Western culture, we think if I want to enjoy, I have to give for myself. So this example is like, okay, the hand has no facility to enjoy food. Yeah, how can you enjoy food? You have this very nice, I don't know, sweets, and the hand has no taste. Cannot feel the taste. It cannot feel. And if the hand wants to enjoy separately, then the hand will be without energy after some time. But if the hand is cooperating with the whole, then puts the food in the mouth, then it gets digested, and the hand will also feel energy. So that's the classic example, which says something quite counterintuitive, at least for our Western brains, that if you serve Krishna, then you'll be happy, and if you serve yourself, you'll not be happy. So that's So this idea of doing the duty is not that you do something that is not good for you just because, you know, I have to be dutiful. It's actually something that is very good for you, and the real conflict is not is between the desires of the soul, our real self-interest, and the somehow desires of the mind, which is external to the soul, to who we really are, and who sometimes go in the other direction. Yeah. So actually, doing the duty is not something which is good for someone outside. It's good for me first. So this army of Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to conquer the world, you know, like, why? Yeah, we'll fight everyone. The purpose is to help everyone to become Krishna conscious, to become spiritually advanced. And the order of the commander, if we have to speak in these terms, is Lord Chaitanya, is that everyone we meet, we tell them about Krishna. We give them Krishna consciousness. And giving Krishna consciousness, then you will be happy. There's this principle. The more you give, you know, in material terms, the more you give, the less you have. You have $1 million. And you give 10,000 euro, 10,000 to this guy, 10,000 to this guy, 10,000, and you're like, how much you have left? Only 100,000. Okay, give a bit more. And then like, how much you have left? Oh, I have 5 euros left. Okay. Bad luck. So in material terms, that's how it works. In spiritual terms, the more you give, the more you get. You give 1 million euros to someone and you get 10 millions. And then you give 10 million, and then you get 100 million. So, like, whoa, far out. and this is something very practical. We have seen with this program, it's quite tiring. Every day you have to drive 1 hour, sometimes even more. And to somewhere, and then sing and dance 3 hours in the sun, and then come back 1 hour, and then probably before going you have to do some things to prepare things for. So it can be some, but you see there's some addictive feeling, you know, like <there's> like this junkie's like, that's good. It actually works. So the and I met this devotee, and I was telling him, look, there's only 2 days left. And he put his puppy face and was like, oh, really? Why? That's so nice. So actually, in spite of this external difficulties, you see, it's actually nice. You can see that the theory actually works, you know, like you go and chant and give Krishna consciousness to others, and then something, you feel, oh, it's good, this, I'm feeling happy, wow, this is amazing. So, to get back to this sense of responsibility, this sense of responsibility actually comes from a very deep conviction. That you're convinced to do something every day for years, for 2 days you can do it, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year. But to do it for many years, you need to be convinced that you have to do it, you know, like it's not. And it's not because it can work, for some time, that someone is pushing you, please do it, please do it, please do it. But at some point, you have to get to this stage where you want to do it. You have to convince yourself, look, this is good for me, I want to do it. This is. So, this responsibility is really underrated, you know. Sometimes we tend not to appreciate it, not to not to detect this kind of level of responsibility and also not appreciate. Okay. But actually, to be so responsible, as I said, is to. It means that you control your mind. It means that you're actually clear. Okay, this is what I want to do, and this is very important, and whatever else, I don't care. So, we tend to take many things for granted. You know, like, they are there. You know, Sunday feast, there is prasadam. Of course there is prasadam. You know, like, deities, every Sunday they have new clothes, or in Padayatra we have cars, we get in the cars and we get somewhere, and the deities have this nice car, and we have instruments, and we have everything. We have water, you know, like you're going in Piran, this was quite hot that day. And you're going in Piran, it's sunny, it's really sunny, it's really hot. And of course, until we got to the center, in the center it was some shadow. And you go to go there and it's hot, it's like sweating. And someone comes, water? You're like, whoa, that's a good idea, that's such a nice idea. You know, like, but how did that water come there, you know, like it's just manifested out of the blue? No, someone brought the water, you know, like you go for, you have a picnic, you know, like we had some picnics, here's a sunny, nice place in the shadow, and then they open and there's pasta. Okay. And pasta and... and burek. Oh my God. Okay. You're like, it's nice, you know. And then it's we tend to think, oh, they just appeared there, you know, like. But no, there's someone woke up at 1 o'clock to do this pasta and this burek, you know. So, and you're like, whoa, that's far out, you know, like. So many examples. So the whole point is that if something is done and you see, wow, this thing is done, you have to recognize that there are some persons responsible for who are responsible enough to do it. So then you can enjoy. Oh, okay, you know, like, this is here. And the main point is that we should recognize these examples and value them. That look, oh, they are there. Not only that, there were so many examples. You just every day you can see something like this, and not only appreciate the devotees, but this desire to look like, ooh, if things are to be done, there's more people should be like that, you know, like, and maybe even me, you know, like I should be more responsible. Of course, you know, like you can always already be responsible, but usually. The mentality of a devotee is that wherever he is, he thinks, "Oh, I can still do more." You know, like he doesn't think, "Oh, yeah, you know, I'm all right, I'm doing all right." No, he's thinking, "Oh, yeah, I could do more," and we should see this example and feel inspired. Oh, okay, I can be a bit. More responsible, I can think. So this is a good way to be lusty. You know, they say in Krishna consciousness you can be lusty. You can be lusty for love of Krishna and you be lusty to be more responsible, more. Also, there's the other point is that we might recognize this examples, and or we might not, or someone else, if we do some service or something, someone else might recognize this or not, you know, like sometimes devotees don't see it. So but the main point is that Krishna will recognize it. Krishna will see, like, oh, okay, she's actually doing something. And of course, Krishna is very, he accepts whatever service we do. He's grateful for whatever small service we do, but if we are consistent, if you are responsible, then he's more impressed, you know, like, because otherwise he's like, he doesn't know what to think, you know, like, he's one day we want to serve him and to do something, and 5 days not, and then he thinks, oh, he likes me, then again, then he thinks, oh, like this, they have this flowers, they do, he loves me not, he loves me not, like they put petals out, and then, so Krishna sometimes can be like that, if you're not consistent, if you're not responsible, you think, oh, today he loves me, tomorrow he doesn't love me, today, in 3 days he loves me again, so what's up with this guy, is he serious about it or not? What? So if we are consistent, then he's like, oh, today he loves me, tomorrow he loves me, in 3 days he loves me. Maybe he might be serious this time. Because, yeah. Srila Prabhupada always encouraged devotees to take responsibilities. To take responsibility for some part of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And even if it's something little in the beginning, that's start with something little, and then you see, oh, there's some reciprocation because you take some commitments, and Krishna responds, okay, yes, he's a bit serious. And of course, this doesn't have to be only during Padayatra, it can be also the rest of the time. And I'll just finish with, there's a letter Srila Prabhupada sent to His Holiness Prahladananda Swami. He's speaking about the preaching and how different devotees are distributing books or going out on Harinam or chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Krishna consciousness to others. And he finished this letter. He says, please continue in this way and your success in life is assured. As Krishna sees that you are working seriously to bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then he'll bestow all of his blessing upon you. Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him. Rest assured. So Srila Prabhupada says, we do some effort and sometimes we think, oh, what have we done, or maybe I done something. But Krishna is very grateful. Oh, thank you for this effort. Okay, so that's, we can stop here. Maybe one quick question, if there is.
I would just like to ask, how can we really nourish this quality of being responsible. So how can we really nourish that? What are the things that enable us to really become responsible?
I had a feeling this is what you were going to ask. I was preparing for class and I was thinking, look, Bhakta Marcel will ask this. Because it's a really good question. So there's two things. Which are important. One is that you associate with responsible persons. So they say if you want to be a drunkard, you associate with drunkards. If you want to be a devotee, you associate with devotees. And if you want to be responsible, then you associate with responsible devotees. That's it. That's a simple. You associate with these people that you see, oh, this is can be quite an example, you know, wow, this. So this is one thing, and the other thing is you do it. You don't just think about it, you do it, you do something, you take some responsibility, and then you see it works, and then you take more responsibility. You'll see, oh, this works, you know, like, actually Krishna consciousness, that's how it works. You do something, little, and then you see it works. Oh, okay. Maybe I can do more. Maybe it works better. So like that. That this is like two small ingredients. I don't know. Okay. Thank you so much.